today is a weird day for everybody. Man, death has been so rampant upon my household and my family, it's a shame. I'm going to go back to, we can go back 6 months ago. And when we go back 6 months, my son passed away. 6 months ago, as you all know, that was one thing. And then my aunt, I had an aunt who's my mom's older sister. She passed away a week after that. Then just this month of May, my wife's grandmother passed away, Big Mama passed away 2 days after my son's birthday. And then just yesterday, my mom's old sister my mom's sister passed away as well from a heart attack. And I can't help but to wonder sometimes, like, Lord, what is going on? And what's next? With all the turmoil going on with the protests and the war, these are unprecedented times for me and my family. I hurt in the morning, y'all. I mean, I hurt bad. It's nights I can't sleep. I have nightmares. I toss and turn. I don't know if it's because I don't like what happened throughout the day, or is it that I don't want to see what tomorrow's going to bring. It is hard. This is some of the hardest stuff that I've been in my life. 20 years of being in the military has nothing compared to this. It's one thing after another. And it hurts. It hurts so bad. Y'all, it is crazy. But you get up in the morning, you pray, and you pray, and you just keep going. That's the only thing I can turn to. I can talk to everybody in the world about what's going on and how I'm feeling, but life goes on. You know what I mean? Life goes on, then how do you go on? How do you carry on through all of this? Especially like now. My aunt Mentor passed away. It hurts. Because I think about my mom. That I know this is the podcast that I made. I think about my mom. My mom has lost two sisters and her grandson. All within a 6 month period. And I just think about my mom, like the pain she must feel and how to cope with that. And my mom is 66 years old. It hurts, y'all. It hurts so bad. But what are we to do? What are we to do? And then my pops, I love him. He's down here in Tennessee trying to support the best that he can. And he has things to deal with too. And then like he's on the outside. Because these are considered like her relatives, not necessarily his relatives they married, but that's his relative too. My pops lost a son too. My pops lost a grandson as well. He lost two sister-in-laws, two sisters as well. But nobody really looks to him to that to see like what he's going through, what he needs. And I want to know like how many people out there that have family members, but only one person is looked at as being hurting. Everybody is affected by this in one shape, form, or another. And then when you talk to people about it, pretty much everybody's like, oh, be strong, be strong. What the hell is be strong? How are you able to continue on and be strong doing when so much happens to one person? How do you be strong? How do you continue to go on? You do it But I think the term be strong has been, just like a person says, I love you, take care, I'll talk to you later. Like, it's just common conversation about be strong. That's what people just got to say. Hell with being strong. People need to learn how to grieve and allow people to grieve. Because a lot of times people can't grieve. People need to be allowed to grieve and go through their pain, however they go through it. And the best you can do is be there to support them. Also, last night, I got a call from my frat brothers. Told me that his son got shot. And we cried on the phone this morning. That's right. Two grown men cried on the phone. So yes, it's okay to show emotions about what you're going through, because that's how you deal with it. You can't just let this thing just tear you apart where you don't deal with it, because you put it on a shelf and it builds up. That shelf has come crashing down. I want you all out there who's going through anything to deal with your emotions and deal with them in a healthy way. Cry. Let it be done, because during all this time, I learned through meditation that it comes like a wave. Your feelings are like a wave. It comes and it goes. It ebbs and it flows. And how to remain in the present moment. So when you get these feelings, you're going to either feel something, hear something, or think about something. Is how these feelings are going to come. And you need to categorize those feelings and things. Say, yup, I feel that. Yup, I hear that. Yup, I thought about that. And take it for what it is. And you come back slowly, come back to the present. You know, you can't yank yourself back to that thought. Oh, I don't want to think about that. No, you have to deal with that. And then once you deal with it, naturally come back to where you are. Because it will pass. Just like the tide ebbs and flows, it will pass. And then it will come back too. But learning how to deal with it early helps with dealing with it later on. But the thing about it, how do you teach someone to deal with these things that we're going through? The young people right now are facing so much with the protests, with the COVID, with death in their families too. They're facing more things now than I've ever faced at their age. And they're doing it. So sometimes we need to tend not to try to give advice to young people, but maybe we need to take a page from their book and sit down and talk to them. Say, man, how, man, girl, woman, how are you dealing with this? What are you doing to go through? And we need to bridge the gap between the young and the old, because that's how we're going to make it. And this country is so divided right now over race. So divided over race, over politics. And not so much religion, just race and politics are divided over. You know, everybody complained about the celebrity who kneeled during the national anthem. But now, over the last couple of weeks, everybody's kneeling. Now people are coming together. Just imagine it came together at that point and stop worrying about how he protested, but what he protested for. This hurts. This hurts bad, because we have to change our perspective about who we are, especially as the dark-skinned people in America. We are under attack by what? I don't know. I don't know. I was born in 72. So I can't tell you about the 60s and the riots, but I'll tell you about right now. I've never experienced anything like this in my life. Not through the military. Nowhere ever I've been has seen that this much turmoil has taken forth. And then we have leaders who are condoning this type of behavior, or really not condoning it, but also not saying cut it out. I wonder how many good people are going to be said that was in these protests. Those were some good people out there. And how the narrative is so strange and so different now, because you have one group of people that do one thing, and the other group that does the same thing is being looked at totally different. A news report the other day showed a white woman in stuffing bags and walking out of a Target that was demolished. Oh, I think that she must work there or something. I hope she works there. The phrase wasn't used as a thug. Oh, look at that woman, what she was doing or whatever. It was fact saying, like, I think she worked there. How did that her narrative is different than anyone else's narrative? Or why they choose to make that narrative from that? Another man on TV tried to be a modern day Robin Hood and got his butt whooped in the street. He lied. He said he got beat up by two African-American males because he's yelling at the car, "All Lives Matter." But then there's the videotape that showed he had a bow and arrow on his hand pointing at people. And he got jumped by everybody in the crowd. Black, white, red, green, blue, whoever. He jumped and they whipped his butt. But it's susceptible for him to say, not like I got jumped by these people. But still, no matter what, this man said he got jumped by blacks to incite a riot, to incite things to come on. I can't help think about the movie Rosewood, that it all started in the movie Rosewood because it was a white woman in the movie who got raped by this white man with her boyfriend and beat her up. She lied and said a black man did it. And they went on a scavenger hunt looking for this black man and tore the whole town up and everything based on that. But here it is on television. We saw a black man being killed by police officers. And yet and still, people inciting the fact that it's okay. They deserved it. We don't know what he did prior to that. But we know what happened now. Whatever happened that, like you see the other guys beforehand, the guy that shot up the churches with the people in them, he was fed Burger King, McDonald's, or fast food on his way to the jail station. I see another video of a man did some stuff and the police officer gave him drinks. So I think that it need to go back to the police departments and a re-education on how to treat people. But it seems like the local authorities and governments have given people a right to incite and to do what they want to do, and they hide behind their badge or their shield. Me, I have nothing to hide behind. I'm at the mercy of the people out there. So doing all this stuff through COVID-19 and the protests, I've kept my black ass in the house because I don't know what's going to happen next. And that's the fear that I live under. Yeah, people say it's not a fear. Yes, it is. It's a fear of not knowing if you drive down the street, somebody want to stop you because they just can say you look like someone, but not a full description, but just say I look like somebody. And I'm going to pull you over and search because now I got probable cause. And when I ask the question, they say, they can easily turn a law around and say that I'm not assisting the investigation. I'm interfering with an investigation. What investigation? The one you just created? And that's how it works with us. I talked before in a podcast before that the reasons why I don't tint my windows, because I know they give the police a reason to stop me for anything they want to, and they can make up something. My headlight was out, or I swerved in a lane. They can make up anything they want to stop. So therefore I don't tint the windows so they can see who's driving behind here. And I put my hands on 10 and 2 of the steering wheel whenever they stop. I haven't been stopped because I haven't been driving. But when is all this going to stop? When is this going to stop? Again, I talk about the deaths, the homicides, the murders, the suicides. What's going on in the world today that we're dealing with so much in such a short time? Within weeks, this country has been turned upside down and inside out. Some people are allowed to have peaceful protests, they say, with AR-15s in Michigan in the Capitol building. Then there's those that have a peaceful protest, nothing but a mask on and sign. They are gassed and smoked and beat up and hit and pushed down. But I saw on television, my own eyes, white men armed with AR-15s, no more than 6 foot from the authorities' face, yelling and screaming and cussing, and nothing's done about it. Why is it such a difference? Why is it such a difference? Why is it such a difference? I don't know. Maybe somebody can tell me. But I'm tired. I'm fed up. I know a lot of people are. But when is it going to change? Is it ever going to change? Yeah, I know it's going to change, but when? What do we do up until then? How many more people of color got to die? Or period, people got to die, period. How many more protests before it all changes? How many people, because of their prejudices and their stereotypes, have to change before I can walk down the street freely with a hood on if I wanted to, because I was cold drinking a pop and eating some Skittles? How many times, because I think that I forged a check or passed and forged money, that I could just be arrested and set in the back of the car and tried in the court of law, not tried on the streets? What happens when it said I can't breathe, that I'm able to get medical attention right away? What happens when there's a protest and I can't move my car, yet I'm yanked from it and the windows are broken out? When is that going to change? But yeah, I should have parked my car, left it there, and walked away to make curfew to go where I was going. But I'm in a vehicle, and you see that the road is stopped and blocked. What the hell are these people thinking? Why are we treated so differently in the country that we are part of? Why are we alienated? For what reason? What have we done to you? Nothing. Nothing. And why all the narratives there on the news when you see they only tend to show people of color looting? Rarely they show the people, other people that are looting, but people of color looting. Because they want to propose this narrative that all people of color are disproportionate to the fact that they rob, steal, and they cheat. That's what you want people to believe, and that's what we're going to see. And that's what we're going to show. Because the more and more I show this, the more and more you put distance between me and everybody else. Why is there such a difference? Why is there such a difference? I walk around, although I'm 6'1 and 300 pounds, I walk around scared, thinking of that somebody going to say, I did this or I did that. So I have to say, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. And I can't anger at all. So I anger right here on this call. This hurts so bad. On so many levels, this is wrong. And this is my outlet, just to talk. This is my outlet to talk about how I feel and why I feel the way I feel. And I said before in there about the deaths, because I want you to know deaths, because I'm human. I have deaths in my family, and I have everything that happened that everybody else have happened. But yet and still, as a black man, I'm told to suck it up and be strong. I have to show this warrior face. And then when I show this warrior face, I'm told, oh, you too aggressive. Calm down. I just want to talk. But if I raise my voice, you're on my property. Get out of my house. Sir, you're being belligerent right now. And I'm going to incite you for starting a riot or domestic or whatever you charge you want to bring up on us at that time. But you came in my space. I didn't do nothing wrong. I'm interfering with the investigation. Investigation of what? Of some made up stuff? Come on, y'all. We got to get better as a people. And I'm not saying this affect everybody, but the bad ones out there. And guess what? I don't know what they look like. Neither do you. They show when they want to show. And they feel like they have this right to police up America. Right, you ain't police up America. Yeah, and it's gentrification that goes on. That's a whole nother story. Man, I'm tired.